be here to worship the Lord together. And again, I want to welcome all of you who are worshiping with us online. Appreciate you being with us and hope you will be blessed by this time of worship. We begin, this is just a two-lesson series we're going to do today and next week, talking about things Jesus never said, okay? This has to do with the idea that, you know, when you talk to people about God, you talk to people about the Bible, you talk to people about Jesus, people have different ideas about what the Bible says, and in particular, about how they apply what the Bible says or doesn't say. And what I come to find out is that, you know, there's an awful lot of folks out there who don't have a clue as to what the Bible really says, but they think they do. And so what we're going to do is look at some various things that people have said or people are using as their understanding to some degree of what the Bible says or what Jesus said about this or about that. But more importantly, these things that I'm going to talk about this morning really reflect, even if they don't say these things, it reflects how they are trying to live their Christianity. Okay? And I think it's important for us to be aware of some of these things so that we can show people what the Bible actually does say, or specifically, what Jesus did say. Okay? So let's take a look at some things that Jesus never said. Okay? We begin by talking about, and we finished up our series the last series we were doing on unconditional surrender. We were talking about the problem that people have today of itching ears, okay? Where the Apostle Paul tells Timothy that the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, he says, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. So that's one of the problems that we have, is that there are many people, and by the way, we're talking about church people here, okay? We're not talking about the folks that are out there in the world that aren't, you know, they don't believe in God, they're not following God, they're not even trying, and I guess partly I would say at least they're being honest, okay? Let's talk about the church people who want to hear what they want to hear, what makes them feel good, instead of wanting to hear what God really says. Okay? Then we have that line. Okay? The line leading to, you know, what the Bible actually does say, and the other line that's much longer in what people really want to hear. Okay? And that should bring to mind what Jesus says about entering through the narrow gate. Okay? Because wide is the road and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go through that. But small is the gate and narrow the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Okay? The Apostle Paul in Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9, gives this concerning statement here about those who, again, are followers, they're Christians, okay, they're believers, but he notes how easy it is for people to get away from following the truth of God's word. He says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. And then he says, which is really no gospel at all. And then he gives this warning. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. And we've got that going on all over today, don't we? You see? He says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. And then he repeats that warning for emphasis, you see? So as we start out looking at some of these things that Jesus never said, that people believe or that they practice, they live according to these ideas, we need to realize that God calls us to one gospel, to one truth, and that is His truth. And we need to try to guide people to that truth, okay? For, as the scripture reading we had this morning that Tom read for us, here's what Jesus says about what He says, okay? Heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will never pass away. Okay? So we need to try to focus on what did Jesus really say? We need to try to help people to get away from what they think He said and focusing on what He really said. Okay? So I've got this broken down into three different categories, all right? First of all, there are things that people believe or things that really reflect the way people are living, their faith, so to speak. And so we're going to look at it from that perspective. And the first one has to do with things that concern following Jesus. Okay? And so there are those, in other words, who really kind of look at it this way, that Jesus said, I am a way, a truth, and a life. And there are a lot of church people who are living with that belief in mind. In other words, that Jesus isn't the only way, but rather that He's one of many different ways. And you say, but Christians don't really believe that, do they? Well, they may not tell you that, but that's exactly the way they're living their life. You see? Because they're accepting anything and everything that comes along and not really focused on the fact that Jesus says He is what? The way, the truth, and the life. See, that's what He actually says. But when we're afraid to tell people that Jesus is the only way, then aren't we really living according to the first statement there? That we accept and we let people feel like that He's just a way? You see? We've got to decide. Which words are we going to follow? We need to be focused on following the words that Jesus actually said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. No one, He says, can come to the Father except through Me. So that eliminates what? All other ways, you see? All other ways, all right? How about this one? Everybody will totally like you for being My follower. You see, that's the idea that people have that, you know, if I'm a Christian, then, you know, people are going to like me and I'm trying to live this good life. And then what happens is when people are trying to live a Christian life and folks reject them, they don't understand why. And they get discouraged and frustrated, you see, because, I thought if I was a Christian then and I'm living a good life that people would accept that and people would encourage me. But I'm finding the opposite. So again, when we get these ideas in our head and thinking that, well, yeah, the Christian life, well, by the way, another one is that I'm, you know, if I become a Christian, then I'm going to be wealthy and everything's going to be great and I won't have any problems, right? No. Here's what Jesus said. If the world hates you, keep in mind, it hated Me first. You see? Jesus told us, in this world you will have trouble. So we need to be careful that we don't believe the lies that people are saying that, well, being a Christian means everything's going to go great in your life. And there are preachers that are out there tickling people's ears with those kind of teachings. The world hates the truth. We need to understand that. See? And anyone who tries to share the truth, the world is going to hate it. It's not going to be friendly to us. And as we talked about in our Bible class this morning, it is not anywhere near what it was back in the first century, but it's going to get worse. You know, we've talked about Revelation, things are bad. And what? They're going to get worse, okay? But the victory is assured in the end. But we just need to understand, Jesus never promised that everybody's going to like us and everything's going to go really well for us and we're going to be happy and all the time and so forth. He promised just the opposite. Okay. There we go. All right. Here's a kind of another slant on that idea. If the world hates you, remember it hated me first. Jesus said that. People go, yeah, I did that. Until I modernized to get with the times and changed all of my teachings so they would be easier to follow, and then pretty much everyone liked me again. And, you know, we look at that kind of a statement and go, no, that's not what he said. But the problem is there are a lot of people who that's really what they want to have happen. They want Jesus to modernize his teaching so the world will accept them better and make it easier to follow him. And that's what's happening in what we call Christianity today. Why do we have so many different churches across the world, Christian churches? Because people are modernizing what Jesus had to say. You see? Jesus hadn't changed his words. He hasn't changed his position not one bit since he first said them. And he's not going to modernize them to keep up with the times as many are teaching today. They are what they are. And by the way, he doesn't apologize for what he said. And we should not either. Okay? Here's another one. It's okay to call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I command you. Now, again, we look at that and we can kind of chuckle and go, wow. But people are actually, in our churches, are living that. You see? They're living that. Yes, Jesus is my Lord, but instead of doing what he said to do, they're doing whatever they want to do. So it's like, that's really what they believe. I can call him my Lord, but I don't have to do what he says. I can do what I want to do. When in fact, what Jesus really said is ask the question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you to do? Because you see, what Jesus is saying there is, if you're not going to do what I tell you to do, then I'm not really your Lord. You need to understand that. And the people of his day would have understood that very easily because they knew that if someone was your Lord, they were your master and you did what they told you to do. But people today don't have that concept. They want Jesus to be their Lord, but they don't want to have to do all the things that he says to do. Just the ones that they like. Okay? Here's one that seems to be very popular today. Amongst a lot of church people. Okay? This kind of an attitude. You do you and I'll do me. Okay? In other words, it's kind of like, you know, I'm going to do what I need to do, and if you don't like that or whatever, you just do whatever makes you happy. And isn't that really what people are doing today? It seems to me that the pursuit of happiness is the overwhelming drive that most people have today. So, in other words, as long as I'm happy, then everything is okay. And I've had people tell me in justification for doing some of the things that they know they shouldn't be doing, but they're doing them, and their justification is, God would not want me to be unhappy. So again, this kind of an approach, you do you and I'll do me, that Jesus just kind of accepts whatever it is we want to do, however it is we want to live. Here's what he really says concerning that. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Now, does deny yourself and take up your cross sound like you do you and I'll do me? No, not at all. You see, that's a big problem that church people have today is the whole idea of not denying ourselves. We want what we want for ourselves. But Jesus says if we want to be his disciples, we don't have any choice. We have to deny ourselves and we have to take up our cross and follow him. Living the life of a Christian cannot be one in which we do what we want to do. You do you and I'll do me kind of a thing. it doesn't fit with Jesus. Okay? How about this one? In this case of the woman at the well there. Look, you're a sinner, and I'm having a hard time getting my focus there. I'm going to have to unfriend you. You know, the whole light can't be friends with darkness thing. You know? We're talking about people that have been involved in sin. How does the world treat them? Well, today, they're even digging way, way back into people's past when they were in kindergarten and dragging up stuff that they did or pictures they were in and condemning them for something they did 20, 30 years ago in their lives. I'm sorry, I can't be friends with you because you said this or you did that. Doesn't matter how long ago. Doesn't matter how many times you apologized or whatever. You see? Remember what Jesus said to the woman that was caught in the act of adultery? When her accusers brought her to him and said, "This woman was caught in the very act. The law says stone her. What do you say?" And Jesus told the accusers, "Well, whoever is without sin, go ahead and cast the first stone." And then John tells us they began to leave one at a time, the older to the younger, till only Jesus was left with the woman. And here's what the text tells us. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on sin no more." You see, that's totally the opposite of unfriending someone because they sinned sometime in their past. As if they had never sinned in their past, right? Jesus says, "Look, I didn't come here to condemn people. I came to forgive people." And that's the true message that we need to help people to understand. Jesus is not about condemning people. And those who are his true followers should not be about condemning people either. We should be about helping people to find forgiveness. You see? Let's talk about the whole category of teaching others. Taking the message to other people. All right? There is this one, where Jesus says, "Open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." Now, did Jesus actually say that? Yes, he did. Okay? But the thing that people really want to apply to that, or the way they want to interpret it, is what it says under, "But if you don't have time, I understand you're busy. I just thought it was a good idea, that's all." And again, it's not that people are going around saying that Jesus said it, but that's how they're living. You see? Are we actually, okay, let's not focus on everybody else out there. Let's just focus inward here for a moment. Are we actually trying hard to go out into the fields that are ripe under harvest and bring people to Christ? You see? Or are we just too busy to do that? You see? Here's what Jesus said. "Therefore, he said unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." In other words, that we need to be looking and going, okay, there are people that need to be saved. And Jesus is saying, you need to be going out there and saving folks. You need to be going out and teaching them. We need to be praying and asking for more laborers. And by the way, the more includes who? Each one of us. You see? Go out into all the world and twist the scripture so that no one is offended. Well, now that's one that people are kind of living every day. You see? Nobody wants to offend anybody by what the Bible actually says. You see? And so, again, this is kind of the way a lot of church people are living. Twisting the scriptures so that they don't hurt people's feelings with it and get people upset with it. when Jesus actually said, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and doing what? And teaching them to obey, help me out here, everything I have commanded you. Okay? Teach them to obey everything. Go into all the world and teach people. Teach them to obey everything that He's commanded. Not just what they want to hear. And not just what we want to tell them so they won't get upset with us. But everything that He has commanded us to do. By all means. Support your position by referring to things I never said. This is a really big one that's going on today in certain communities, especially the LGBT community. Okay, part of their justification for that there's nothing wrong with being gay is that Jesus never said anything about homosexuality in the Scriptures. In fact, you probably recognize this face. One who is well known for being a Bible teacher, so on and so forth. Here's a quote from him. Homosexuality was well known in the ancient world well before Christ was born. And Jesus never said a word about homosexuality. In all of his teachings about multiple things, he never said that gay people should be condemned. Okay, former President Jimmy Carter. That's his position on it. Because Jesus never said anything about it, never said anything condemning it, then it's okay, apparently. Okay? And so it's this kind of a concept. If I didn't specifically speak against something, even though it had been specifically spoken against elsewhere, everywhere else rather, in the Bible, then it must mean I'm okay with it, and you can feel free to use that as an argument to live a sinful lifestyle. And again, that's the way there are a lot of people that are living today. Okay? With a lot of different issues. Since Jesus didn't say anything about it, it must be okay. That's their justification. Right? In fact, there are those who say, according to the Bible, Jesus never condemns homosexuality. In fact, he never even mentioned it. It's Paul who condemns it. That's part of their argument, you see, part of the justification. So it must be okay. Why? Jesus didn't say anything about it, and Paul, well, you know, who's he? He doesn't really have any authority, does he? Well, you see, when you start using that kind of logic to justify your behavior, well, here's a question for you. Jesus never condemned, as far as I know, slavery. Or abortion. Neither one of those is, I don't know of anything that Jesus said about either one of them in terms of condemning them. So does that make either one of them okay? I mean, we're going to use that logic on one thing. Doesn't it fit on everything else? You see? But in fact, Jesus lets us know. He may not have ever specifically said something about these things, but he did give those instructions to his disciples. Okay? Jesus says, I still have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. However, when he, that is the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Okay? So there are those folks who want to justify sinful behavior by saying, well, Jesus didn't say anything about it. Well, John even tells us that everything that Jesus did and said is not recorded in the Bible. Okay? But the things that are written there, he says, those are written for our belief. Okay? So that's a dangerous precedent that people are using to say, well, because he didn't say anything condemning it, it must be okay. No, it's not. The Bible makes it abundantly clear that these things are sinful. Okay? For this reason, a man or woman shall leave his or her father and or mother and cleave to the partner of his or her choice. That's what people are living. And again, understand, these are church people. Okay? There are churches all across the world, but certainly all across America, that's exactly how they are living. That's what they're teaching. See? But here's what Jesus did say. But again, I say for those who say he never said anything about it, he certainly made it abundantly clear here. Haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning the Creator made them what? Male and female. And said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. So you see, Jesus did have something to say about who you marry, didn't he? Male and female. Man and wife. Okay? And finally, let's talk about daily living. How does this kind of fall into how we interpret the Bible and apply the Bible on a daily basis within our lives? Here's one that people have this idea. I can't heal you. There's too much sin in your life. And we talked about this idea back a while ago in our last series of lessons, just from the standpoint that even sometimes within ourselves we look and we say, I don't think God can really forgive me of this. I've done some really bad things in my life and some things that I don't think God will or can forgive me of. And so, again, we're kind of living this idea here, saying that we've sinned too bad or done some things that are too bad that God can or won't forgive. And that's simply not true. In the story of Jesus healing the lame man, okay, here's what he said. So that you may know that the Son of Man has authority where? On earth to forgive sins. In other words, right now. Right now. He said to the paralytic, get up and take your mat and go home. So you may know, not wonder, not question, not even just kind of hope with this idea, I hope he'll forgive me. He says that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth right now to forgive sins. And that's what he wants us to know. Okay? Tolerate one another as I have tolerated you. Now that's one that people are really living today. Now we put up with one another, don't we? And doesn't that sound good? People, we just have to tolerate them. Does Jesus really want us to just tolerate one another? Or does he rather want us, and this is what he really said, love one another? And the word there, by the way, is agape. Okay? Unconditional. In other words, I'm going to love you even when you're intolerable. Okay? I'm going to love you anyway. Love one another as I have loved you. Not just tolerate people, but truly love them. All right? You've heard that it is said, again, I'm having a little trouble focusing this morning. You heard it said, I am the truth. But I tell you, the only thing that is true is what is true for you. Again, there's another one that people are living today. Our church people are living. Your truth, my truth. They ask the same question that Pilate asked. What is truth? And truth is what you make it. So your truth might be different than my truth. You see? And it would be really wonderful if it was just people out in the world that are saying that, but there are church people. I had an elder in a church that I used to be at that made that kind of a statement. We had a huge problem, a huge mess within the church, and it caused a split in the church. And I was talking to him one day, and I just said to him, I said, what's the truth here? And he said, that's your truth. It just baffled me. What do you mean, my truth? It's not my truth, your truth. There's only one truth here. So again, I say that just to say this is not just people out in the world that are thinking these things and are saying these things and living by these ideas. These are church people. To Pilate, this is what Jesus said. When Jesus said, Pilate said, "You are a king then," he said, and Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I'm a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth." And look at what he says. "Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Okay? Which truth? Your truth? My truth? His truth? No, just one truth. And that is his. Okay? So, these are some things that I want you to be aware of, if you're not already. Some of these, I think some of you have already heard some of this before. To realize that this is the way that there are a lot of people in our churches that are thinking and living based on these ideas. First of all, we need to make sure that we're not following those kinds of things, all right? And secondly, we need to be helping people to see what Jesus actually did say instead of some of this stuff that they're believing and that they're living in their lives. All right? Now, I told you we have two lessons on this. So today is looking at some of the things that people are saying, well, Jesus said this, the Bible said this, and realizing, no, that's not really what he said. Here's what he really said. Next week, we're going to talk about things that I wish Jesus never said. Okay? Now, so just so that you understand, these are going to be things that Jesus actually did say, but many of us would really rather he hadn't said that. All right? And so we're going to look at some of those things and see, okay, how are we responding to some of those tough things that Jesus has told us, has said to us? Okay? Are we doing them, or are we just kind of, I wish he hadn't have said it, and so therefore I'm not going to follow it? So that's what we're going to look at next week. Wesley has a song for us that he has chosen to use as an invitation song this morning. And so we're going to take this time for anyone that is here this morning, if you have a prayer request, if you have a need that we can help you with, if there's someone here who's not yet a Christian, you desire to become one, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you're ready to make him Lord of your life, then call upon him as your Lord and repent of your sins that are separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now, this morning. All you got to do is come and let us know. For those of you who are worshiping with us online this morning, if you have a prayer request, you can text it. Wesley's phone number will be on the screen, on each of the song screens. You can just text him, and after we're finished, he will address those. If there's anyone out there who is not yet a Christian, you desire to become one, you can do the same thing. All you have to do is contact us and let us know, and we will make that happen as soon as is possible with you. So we have this opportunity for anyone. Let us know what we can do to serve you. Let's stand together and sing. Wesley, come on up.